Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning I would like to offer a perspective on a very well-known story in Scripture that perhaps you hadn't considered. I'll be honest, I hadn't really considered it much until this last week. This perspective of the story of the prodigal son as a glimpse into heaven. The story of the prodigal son as a glimpse into heaven. Again, it's a very well-known story. We all know the story of the prodigal, a young man who demands his father's inheritance only to go off, waste everything on wild, addictive, and selfish living, eventually coming to the end of himself, so much so that he dreamed of eating the food that he was feeding to the pigs. In fact, what Scripture tells us is that he came to his senses. And he decided to go back to his father, begging his father for forgiveness and to ask him simply to work as a hired hand. He is no longer worthy to be his son, but he will come back, work as a hired hand. Again, we know the story. It's a familiar story. The father's been waiting for him. He's been waiting for him the whole time, longing for the day that his son would finally come back. And so he stands, hopeful, waiting every day, every night. And finally, the day comes, and this long-lost son of his has returned. And the father is completely overwhelmed with joy, accepts the apology, and offers to throw a grand party in his son's honor. The long-lost son has returned home, and there is great reason to celebrate. And we also know the story, the part of the story, and Charlie knows it as well, of the older brother. The one who was always there, always working, always doing what he was supposed to do. And we see him get incredibly jealous of the forgiveness, jealous of the celebration. We notice that the older brother even refuses to call the younger his own brother, rather referring to him simply as this son of yours. We've heard the story. We know it pretty well. You've heard dozens of sermons on this story. So I won't bore you with another return of the prodigal sermon. Or even a sermon on the jealous, envious older brother. Rather, I want to look at the depth of this story through the lenses of creation, fall, and redemption, that continuous biblical arc. This is a story of the fall. The prodigal blasphemed the father, blasphemed himself, blasphemed God, his entire family, with this incredible selfishness that he had. He wanted nothing more than to fill his own belly and to live out his own lustful desires. And so he did, and he fell low. He fell pretty low. Perhaps you know someone who has hit rock bottom and then, through the grace of God, been able to turn their life around. Perhaps you know someone who has seemingly hit rock bottom more than once, only to go down even further. Well, the driving point in this part of the story is that repentance is a necessity in order to make amends with both God and with others. The prodigal came to his senses, and he knew from the bottom of his heart and from the bottom of the pit that he needed to express his sorrow, asking for forgiveness, maybe even working off his debts. Somehow through this, be reconciled. This is a story of redemption. Story of redemption. The father kept up every night, agonizing with the thoughts of his long-lost son, hoping for his eventual return, waiting, watching, longing for him to finally make his way back home. That day happened. That day finally came. The father ran to his son with arms wide open, welcoming him back. Open arms, an open heart to induce a great embrace of joy and tears. The prodigal repented, the father accepted, and called for the immediate celebration. Creation, fall, redemption. Not to leave alone, though, the ark in this story in particular, which is a story of repentance, confession, forgiveness, and celebration. Repetitive themes in this passage through the arc of creation, fall, and redemption, which now continues on with the older son. The older confronts his father to express his anger toward the grace and forgiveness that is shown to this prodigal. How dare you? How dare you forgive him? How dare you forgive this son of yours? He's no brother of mine. How dare you forgive this son of yours and call for a celebration? He left you. He sinned against you. He lied to you. He is not worthy of your forgiveness. But I am. I am. I've been here the whole time. I've been here keeping up my end of the family bargain. I've been here working for you in order to receive my inheritance, not demanding it from you. How dare you give it to this son of yours? How dare you give him any favor at all? It's a story of fall. The older son reacts, and quite honestly, a completely natural way, doesn't he? He reacts in a way that many of us would. I understand this reaction. The reality, though, is that he is just as broken as the prodigal, and himself just as much in need of the grace and forgiveness of the Father. This is a story of redemption. Now, there are many references in Scripture that I believe help us to understand this story, and in fact, help us to identify with the story on perhaps a more personal level, a deeper level that, quite honestly, might even be a little bit offensive to us. The older son was certain that the prodigal did not deserve the forgiveness from the father, and he certainly, even if the father did forgive, certainly he was not worthy to receive a celebration banquet. He wasn't there. He didn't do the work. He left. He lied. He lost. I deserve the banquet, not him. He deserves to be punished. You know, Jesus tells us another story. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus tells the parable of the landowner and hired workers. And in this story, there are some hired workers who are brought on at different times of the day by a landowner. But at the end of the day, the landowner paid all of them the same wage. The ones who started very early in the morning and the ones who only did maybe an hour's worth of work. He paid them all the same wage. Of course, the ones who worked all day were quite upset about this. They did all the work. Why are these others getting paid when we did the work? Jesus says the landowner chooses to give how he gives. The decision for how the landowner gives is not up to the workers at all. And Jesus also has an experience at his death with the thief on the cross next to him, the one who asks Jesus to remember him. Now certainly, this man was an admitted criminal, not worthy of admittance into glory, but when he asked, Jesus welcomed him into paradise. The book of Jonah tells the same story. God called Jonah to go to Nineveh, a capital city of the Assyrian Empire, who was notoriously brutal to especially Hebrew people. They were warring, they were mad, they were murderous, they were blasphemous against the Hebrew people. Of course Jonah would refuse to go. Ultimately, he submitted to God's call in his life. He went to Nineveh and he preached 7 words to the people there. 7 words. And the people of that notorious, godless empire repented. They repented of their sins. From the king to the nobility to every person in every village of the city, they all repented. Even the animals, they repented. And God relented of the disaster that he had planned on that city. And more than 200,000 people were saved that day. And Jonah went out the city gates to pout about it. Because those people didn't deserve God's forgiveness. Creation, fall, redemption. Repentance, confession, forgiveness, and celebration. Friends, the story of the prodigal is a glimpse into heaven. And as such, we may not like it. We may not approve. We may even be offended by it. The older son, the hired workers, Jonah, they were all incredibly offended by God, by who God chose to have mercy on. They were sure that those others did not deserve to be there. The older, the hired workers, and Jonah, they were the ones who had put in the time. They served on vestry, led Bible studies, read scripture every day, were down on their knees praying every night. They are the ones that deserve to have God's favor, not those others. They had their chance. They blew it. And such is the glimpse into heaven. There will be people there that we do not think deserve to be there. Not only will they be there, they will be feasting at the celebration. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 25 contends, he says, "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations." In glory, God will end all darkness and death. He will disperse all greed, envy, and guilt. He will forgive who he will forgive, and we don't have any say over that. We might not agree when he forgives who he forgives. But friends, God is God, and I am not. Repentance, confession, forgiveness, and celebration are the ways of God and given to us in the grace, glory, and shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. Despite the lost and broken relationships that we have, despite the cruel realities of the world, despite how we see ourselves and how others see us, there is a different and beautiful reality in the redemptive blood of Jesus. And without that blood, we are all dead. Without that blood, we are constantly living in squalor, unknown and unknowing, greedy and complaining, making hell on earth a reality. But that isn't the case because we do have the shed blood of Jesus for the ages. all generations. And yes, we live together in the reality of the world, but through the truth of Jesus, by repentance, confession, forgiveness, and celebration, because it doesn't matter who I think deserves it. It matters that I am included and covered by the blood. So then, we can return. We can celebrate with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. Celebrate indeed as Jesus gave word to the Apostle John in the book of Revelation when he said, "Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, 'Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give Him the glory, for the marriage supper of the Lamb has come.' And the angel said, 'Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' These are the true words of God." The Almighty and glorious God that we serve is full of compassion, of truth, of wisdom, healing, forgiveness, and mercy. We don't choose who He has mercy upon or who He forgives, but we do get the choice and the chance to celebrate with our Lord in the great feast of His own goodness and glory. So then, may His peace reign over every aspect of our lives, of our thoughts, our worry, our doubt. May the Lord God Almighty bring us to a place of repentance, confession, forgiveness, and celebration through the one who died once for all to bring us everlasting salvation, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
There is hope in grace unceasing. You withhold your wrath from me, poured it out upon my Savior on the cross of Calvary. There is hope now for the hopeless. There is victory all can know. For the tomb lies bare and broken, and death's power is overthrown. Jesus Christ, my hope forever, hope unlike the world can bring. Your steadfast love beyond all measure, there is hope in Christ my King. There is hope for sons and daughters who have wandered on their own. Hear the songs of joy from heaven as the lost are welcomed home. Jesus Christ, my hope forever, hope unlike the world can bring. Your steadfast love beyond all measure, there is hope in Christ my King. Oh, Savior, hope of heaven, precious treasure of my life. All my joy is in your presence. I am yours and you are mine. Oh, Savior, hope of heaven, precious treasure of my life. All my joy is in your presence. I am yours and you are mine. I will wait until I see him, though the twilight turns to night. For my hope is not defeated, it will greet his dawning light. Jesus Christ, my hope forever, hope unlike the world can bring. Your steadfast love beyond all measure, there is hope in Christ my King. There is hope in Christ my King.